Hallelujah. Well, if there's nothing else, then we're going to discuss another part of perhaps our greatest responsibility, and that is to water the seeds. When you come to church, I believe that seeds are sown because I believe that I seek the Lord and I believe you get the word from God. Also, you should get a sprinkle on occasion. In other words, there's water. There's a certain amount of watering that goes on the word that you receive. But you cannot produce a harvest with sprinkles. You can't produce a harvest with seeds without water. It's just not going to happen. I know less than enough to be dangerous about farming, perhaps, but I did hear one time about that even people who irrigate, if they irrigate, I mean, I've seen places where it had just rained and the irrigation is still going, and someone explained to me that if you've got irrigated ground, you've got to keep irrigating because you can't just shut off the irrigation because you got some rain. Those crops in that ground are used to consistent water, and without consistent water, they'll be worse than ground that has none. Now, I don't understand how that works, but, you know, we can look and we can say, you know something, as Christians, we should keep the irrigation going. We should keep the water running. We don't want to come here, okay? We come here and we might get a sprinkle, we might get a downpour, we might have a flood. Different times. Somebody might experience a flood when other people are only getting a sprinkle, and some people might have an umbrella up to keep the rain out. You know, it depends upon the mood and the attitude. And so we could have that go on, but no matter what we get here, we've got to take it out with us, and then we need to water that seed. If God speaks something to us, we water that seed. Wayne receives a word from God, and all God did was just basically one thing that he did was he encouraged him, you're doing the right thing when you're praying in the Spirit. The other thing he was saying is, remember that it's the right thing. Because we might do real good praying in the Spirit one time, and another time, we might begin to entertain the other ideas. Vicky handled the attack from the enemy with veracity. Shut up, Satan! And it worked like a charm. Another time, if she doesn't keep that word watered and keep that strong in her heart, she could be going along and all of a sudden find herself one day down the road, 2 days down the road, 3 days down the road, tormented. And all the time, the Spirit is saying, remember what works. Remember what works. Just tell the devil to shut up. Well, what the enemy tells us is, well, it might have worked once, but you know, if you just keep doing that all the time, it's just going to become a habit and pretty soon it won't mean anything. Well, the last thing the devil wants us to do is develop good habits. Last thing he wants us to do is apply the Word of God boldly to every circumstance. Last thing he wants us to do is to realize, wait a minute, every Word of God is good. Every Word of God is true. Every Word of God does work and will produce what God says. He doesn't want us to get caught up with that. And so consequently, we can have seeds that sit in good soil and lie dormant, waiting for an opportunity to germinate. Now, Vicki said about the talents, we have salvation. God gives us salvation. But as she was saying that and she was talking about that, I thought, you know, that is so good. Because we can have salvation. But what did the landowner say? He said, you could have at least deposited it somewhere so I'd get it back with interest. If nothing else, deposit it somewhere. Don't just bury it. Don't just hide it. Don't just, you know, be comfortable in it. But believe the devil's lie that says, don't make somebody else uncomfortable with what the Lord has done for you. We started out the day singing, you know, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. Some people say, well, God, you know, I don't know if God's done anything for me. If you don't remember that God has done anything for you, stir it up. Stir it up. Or if we would go to God and simply say, God, you know something? I want some things to tell the people about. God says, if you call on me, I'll answer you. So, you know, if you have not because you ask not. If you don't ask the Lord to do some things so you've got some things, then, well, you don't have anything. So then when the enemy says you don't have anything, we, rather than telling him, shut up, I'm going to get me something, we say, oh yeah, I guess I don't have anything. The seed needs to be watered. And we are responsible for watering our seed. Now, Scripture tells us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because there's some watering that goes on. And there's some seed sowing that goes on. And there's some soil preparation that goes on. There needs to be some of that going on. Now, I believe that over the 26 years that we've been doing this, or almost 28 actually, that we've some of us have been together looking at the Word of God, we have pretty much touched on the full counsel of God. We have touched on just the whole Bible in one way or another. And we have touched on this Holy Spirit. We have touched on healing. We have touched on deliverance. We have experienced some pretty amazing manifestations of God in a little place in the middle of nowhere. We've seen manifestations of gold dust. We've seen teeth filled. We've seen little things. They never became the focus. Jesus was the focus, but we have experienced a lot of things, a lot of seeds to grow on. But then we've got to go on developing those gifts and those anointings and those things that God has put into us. Because God has given them to everybody. Everything in the Bible is available to every person. I believe that with all my heart. Ephesians 4 talks about ministry gifts, but it says those gifts are to prepare everybody for those gifts. And the amount that we are hungry for is the amount that we will devour and that we will grow up in. As we realize that it is for us and it becomes something that's important to us, then it becomes important to us to continue to grow in it. Like Vicki said, this last week was busy. It wasn't just a week, it was a long time, a lot of busyness, wasn't it? Trips back and forth, time involved, telephone conversations, visiting conversations, relationship development. There was all kinds of stuff. There was a lot of effort put into that. Now it's done. Now, there's two kids that just got married that can produce fruit out of that. And go on with that. And make it something that was worth all that effort. If they don't, it was a lot of effort. And we don't know. We know because we declare it over that. But in every circumstance, there's effort to be put into sowing, to watering, to growing, to encouraging, to tearing down those things that come against, to building up those things that will help. There's effort that goes into those things, and those are the things we're called to do. And we can be confident God says He'll give the increase. The sower sows the word. God is perfectly willing to make it grow, but God won't make it grow any more than He will make someone be saved. He will present the opportunity, the rain will be there. He won't force anyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but He will present to them the opportunity to be filled with all the fullness of God and the power of God, because a person should read and know, I don't want to have a form of godliness without the power. Why not have the whole thing? We don't want to stand outside the stadium with tickets and not go in and watch the game. And yet the enemy tricks people into standing outside with tickets saying, it's good enough to have tickets. You were fortunate. You got tickets. Why do you need to go in and see the game? You can tell everybody you have tickets. Take your tickets and go home and watch it on TV. You can see the replays better. But then you're robbed of the experience. And remember that Christianity is not a concept, it's an experience. An experience with God. And that experience develops a relationship, and that relationship produces actions. And we can't stop short of any part of that. When the devil says, it's not up to you to understand, God will give you the understanding that you need at the time that you need it, you need to say, shut up, devil. Because what he's trying to do is keep you from getting understanding when God has said, above all things, get understanding. Get wisdom. Get all that there is of God. Scott's a farmer. You take advantage of every opportunity to get the best harvest you can, right? If you could control the rain, that would even be better, wouldn't it? But you do because you pray and you trust. And when we trust the Lord, we know, we absolutely know God can, and I believe someday will, produce harvest for His people without water from above. Just to show that there's a difference between His people and the world's people. Now, we don't want that to happen real soon because we've got to be built up on our faith to hold on to that and to declare that over it. See, that's, we make these declarations. It's important to make these declarations because when something arises, we can say, wait a minute, we have declared an end to disease. We have declared a release of finances. We have declared a harvest. We're going to stand on what we've declared and what we believe from God. That's where we're standing. Nothing's going to steal it from us. Shut up, devil. Now that's watering the Word so that the Word can grow up. That's why the enemy wants to put an umbrella over the water all the time. That's why he wants to rain on your parade, which sounds strange when he's trying to withhold your water. But he doesn't want you to begin to operate in confidence of the truth. Remember, we began talking about where are you when God said to Adam and Eve, where are you? And not because he didn't know where they were, but think about, where are you? Why are you hiding from God? In the garden, everything was good, folks. In the garden, they just tended the garden. They didn't weed the garden. They didn't water the garden. They just reaped the benefits of the garden. That was the way God intended it. But when sin entered, then God said, now it's going to come by the sweat of your brow. Now you're going to have to fight the weeds. They didn't know what weeds were. When they found out what weeds were, they had one more reason to go, how stupid could we be? But God has promised through Christ, He came and He took authority over what the enemy had stolen from us. So that we can speak the truth, we can declare the truth, and we can expect the truth to be manifested. If that's not true, then why do we have the truth? If that were not true, why would God say that it was true? When Jesus said, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done, He wasn't just using a figure of speech. He was giving us something to shoot for. He was giving us an example to desire. And all who would live desired, who would desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Things will come against you. Things came against Paul. People teach about things that came against Paul that were never mentioned in the Bible. Paul said what came against him. Beatings and whippings and troubles and all kinds of things to buffet him. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He came through quite well. Yeah, but he still got whipped. Yes, he did. But he lived. and he praised the Lord. Paul and Silas figured out that in the midst of all the troubles, when you praise the Lord, things start shaking. And they had enough of the power of God in them to say, I'm not going to run away from this. We're going to advance the kingdom right here and right now. Don't you kill yourself. You're about to get saved. We're still here. If you will water the seed, you'll still be standing. And the Bible tells us not to struggle. Remember our illustration with Rachel, and she said, you mean I get to push you? Don't struggle. God doesn't intend for us to struggle. He intends for us to fight the good fight of faith. But don't struggle with something that has no place in you. Don't give yourself over to vain imaginations. Give yourself over to God imaginations. Imagine what God can do about the thing. You see, watering the word, watering the truth, speaking the truth, developing, harvesting, keeping it going, not just letting it lie there dormant. The eyes of our understanding being open. Paul said that the eyes of our understanding would be open. Christians, we need to let the eyes of our understanding be open to realize how great and how wonderful the promises of God are and how much they are for us. And when we know that something is for us, at James and Jill's wedding, they had, I thought at first maybe it was the cake. It was all the apples stacked up there, and they were all sitting there so nice. And I looked at them, and I saw the little tag that said, we're so glad that you're here. But they were just there. At first, nobody knew that they were for the people. They were just there, you know. And I mean, yeah, they looked really nice. And, you know, everybody, lots of people went by first and looked at them and thought, well, those are really nice. I'd really like to have one of those. What are they going to do with all those? And then somebody got word that they were for the guests. Once word got out that they were for the guests, all of a sudden people are walking back with, you know, handfuls of them, and we're hoping that they were all for their table. Not for just them, but the fact was is, oh, they're for us. And then, you know, somebody had one and they said, oh, where'd you get that? Well, they were up there. Oh, are we supposed to take one? Yeah, they're for us. And zoom, they were up there, you know. I mean, people were up there, and people were trying to be, you know, polite and make sure that they weren't taking too many. But once the night was pretty well, you know, gone and everybody had gotten theirs and there were still some there, there were people going back for more. Folks, we need to realize that it's for us and we need to go back for more. And go back for more and go back for more and go back for more and go back for more. And the cool thing is, by the time the night was over, when we walked out and the night wasn't anywhere near over, there were no more on the table. But that's not a problem with God. You go back for more, more is set there. You go back for more, more is set there. Go back for more is set there. Because God does not run out. We don't go back, we don't get healed once and they say, well, I've got my healing, I guess I shouldn't ask for anything more. I mean, some people act like, I don't want to pray till it's something really big because I don't want to waste my healing on a hangnail. I want to wait, you know, maybe I'll get cancer, then I'll need healing. Well, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. I just go and find the one that's labeled health. But you know, I mean, it is, you would think that some people, well, you know, we don't want to ask God for too much. I mean, I couldn't tell you over the years how many times I've had people, you know, that didn't know very much at all, and they'd say, well, you know, I hate to ask God. He's got a lot to do. I don't know. If he can't handle everything that he says he can handle, we'd be wasting our time. But you see, that's not the way that it is. If we water the word, if we water the good seed that we have, then we aren't fooled by that kind of conversation from the enemy. Then we aren't inclined to go down that road of, well, yeah, you know. Then we're not caught up in the thing of, well, you know, we never know what God might want. And so, you know, we add on that thing, if it be your will, God. Well, you know what? Don't pray until you've read the Word of God and you know what is His will. And if He sent His Word and healed us, we can be pretty safe in saying that it's His will that we be healed. Wouldn't that be true? Well, you know, it's expecting a little much to just, you know, we should leave it up to God. Yeah, we should. We should leave it up to what God said, not what we want to, you know, place on it. And we shouldn't be robbed by what somebody else failed to receive or what somebody else failed to think. That shouldn't even be in our minds, because we should have the Word so watered in us that we are just believers in what God says. What did God say? You couldn't convince Rachel that I don't love her. You couldn't convince Shadow that I don't love her, or Michael or Vicky that I don't love them. No matter how many people would come and say, well, you know, he doesn't love you. Your dad doesn't really love you. At least I hope they wouldn't be saying, well, you know, maybe he doesn't. You know, he did tell me no once. You know? That's right. Tell Satan to shut up. That's right. You just tell him to shut up, because it's a lie, you see. And there are certain things that you know, they couldn't convince you of. You know, you couldn't convince me that that's not my money and those aren't my credit cards. You could come up to me and say, oh, no, those aren't yours. I'll just take that. That isn't yours. You know, I'd say, until God tells me something different, it is mine. You ask, you might receive. But don't try to tell me those aren't mine. My name's on them. Oh, well, that's obvious, right? Well, of course it's obvious. Well, the Word of God is obvious too. It is absolutely obvious. It is clear. It is not confusing. There is nothing missing or nothing lacking from the Word of God. The problem is, if we don't water the little that we know with knowing more, then we run into problems. In Psalm 119, 131, and I love it in the CE Bible, David says, I honestly want to know everything you teach. I honestly want to know everything you teach. The King James says, I think my heart pants for your commands. But I honestly do want to know. Now, David knew what happened if you didn't water the seed. He told God, he said, you know, I've forgotten. You were right to punish me. And we would certainly agree with that. David went brain dead. But he did some things. Like, he didn't go out like he normally would to war. We need to go out to war and advance the kingdom of God. We need to be about the Father's business. We can't leave the Father's business to someone else. If David wouldn't have left it to someone else, he wouldn't have gone out and peeked. And if he'd have been strong in the Word, he wouldn't have stared. And if he'd have been strong in the Word, he wouldn't have invited her up. And he wouldn't have impregnated her. And if he'd have been at least had a little something going in the Word, he certainly wouldn't have gone all the way to killing her husband. Somewhere, the truth would have sprang up and he'd have said, oh man, but it took a long time and a lot of misery on his part. And then for the prophet to come and tell him the story, and he was so hot about that person that would take that one lamb. And when the prophet said, that's you, it all clicked. And he knew it was right. It was him. And I'll venture to say that along the route that he had little inclinations from God, get back in your apartment. Don't be looking on the naked woman. But he apparently had eased up enough on the Word that his thought was, but God, she looks so good and I am the king. The powers of rationalization are very strong. Many times Christians can rationalize the strangest things. And they'll say, well, I am after all a Christian. God will, after all, forgive me. And, you know, I don't feel so bad about this, so it's not so bad. Following those kind of vanities, and pretty soon, explosions take place. But the good news is, God always will restore if we will return. Return to me, I'll return to you. Return to me, I'll return to you. Return to me, I'll return to you. You know, that's a good thing to have watered up and in our system, in our harvest. To say, this can be made better. My sister-in-law, my brother, it can be fixed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just like that. Just like that. I will always have the example of, many of you will remember when Charles and Peg came from Chicago. They were history. Peg got off the plane and said, I just want to get on that. First thing she said to him is, I just want to kill him and get back on the plane. I said, oh, let's not do it that way. But the Spirit of God ministered to them. And in less than 24 hours, only by God, nothing was even said. Just the presence of God, just being in a place where the peace was and where people loved Jesus more than they loved anything else. By the next morning, Charles, who had had an affair, comes to me and says, he's crying, and he says, she apologized to me this morning for whatever she might have done for this to happen. She didn't do anything. And they were holding hands, playing cards, left, stayed married, had a wonderful life, a wonderful retirement. He died. But they were one because of the power of God. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. Know His deeds and make them known. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Water the word, water the word, water the word. God gives you a word. Water it and water it and water it until you harvest it and you have such a harvest that you can pour it out on other people. Don't become comfortable and lackadaisical and lethargical and just quit somewhere along the way. Keep pressing, because there is more. The enemy says, well, you've gone far enough. This is sufficient for you. He's just trying to rob you. You know, if I wanted all of those apples, I could have stood up there by the thing and said, I'm protecting these for everybody, for the Sluggers. No, you're not supposed to have one of those. No, you're not supposed to have one of those. I could have convinced people nobody's supposed to have them. I could have gone to people's table and said, say, we're not supposed to have those yet. Some people would have taken them back up and stacked them back up. And I could have gone so far as saying, now remember where you got yours, because they've all got to be in just the right spot. And people, oh man, I'm sorry. They would have. You could do that. And that's what the devil does. He manipulates us sometimes. And tries to get us to give back what God has given us and not fix what God's telling us to fix. And we go, okay, I'm sorry. But we can't do that. If we've got the word watered in us, we recognize the thief when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we say, shut up, devil. We have been made more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. No weapon formed against me can prosper. He said His word and He healed me. Just little major things. But if we don't water them, if we don't water that good seed that's been put in good soil, it just lays there. And we could drive by, you know, I think it was Harlan that told me that his favorite time was right after planting. He just loved how the fields looked right after planting. Nothing there. Dirt. But he liked that. I looked at it, I said, you know, that is kind of cool. That's really nice. But you sure don't want it to be that way in a few months. You want something to come up. You want something to harvest. If it sat there for too long, there would be a little discouragement. There would be a calling the seed people and saying, hey, it's not germinating. It'd be this and that and the other thing, you know? There would be a little digging up to see what's going on with that seed. There would be a whole lot of things. Because it isn't good enough just to have good soil with the seed in it. The seed needs to come up. And for the seed to come up, it needs water. For it to continue to grow, it needs water. For it to produce the harvest, it needs water. Folks, nobody else can water your seed for you. Not into a harvest. It takes a revival in your own heart. It takes a hunger in your own heart. We come together to get stirred up. People travel to meetings to get stirred up. But some people treat those kind of things like they're steroids, you know? Well, you know, even people who take steroids, they got to do what goes with those steroids to get the full effect of them. But we also know that steroids kill people. Just thinking that the steroids will do it destroys them, where they would be better off if they went about the business of doing it without them. Oh, there may be some temporary benefits. There may be some benefits that last for a few years, but ultimately it kills them. But if we treat the Word of God that way and we just pick up a little here and a little there and we grow some big muscles and then we fall apart, then it has ultimately killed us rather than helping us. But if we water it and grow it the way that it's supposed to be grown. Excuse me. The alarm is saying something. You know? If we will water it so that it grows up and it produces what it's supposed to produce for our lives, then we'll have something. And it will continue to produce. As a rule, I think that if a farmer finds a good seed company, they stick with those seeds until something better comes along. Well, the Word of God, there's nothing better than that seed. There's nothing that can produce better than God. We don't need to look any further than God. And if we will look to Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, then He will accomplish what He has promised to accomplish. Are we confident in that? The other day after we had the message about confidence, Dorn came up and said, I just got to ask you a question. He said, do you have confidence that what you say sinks in? I have hope and confidence that God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. Do you have confidence in God? Do you have enough confidence in God? Do you see? You know, I think in Scripture it says, if there is any benefit, if there is any advantage, if there is anything worthwhile in God, if there is, then get it all. That's my paraphrase. We need to be convinced in our hearts that there is. And then we need to understand that all it takes is a little watering, a little standing, a little professing, a little confessing, a little declaration of the truth of God's Word, and then expectancy, expecting God to do what God says He'll do. If He says to Wayne, hey, when things come, you just remember, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're doing something powerful. Don't ever let go of that. And Wayne shares that with us. We log that. Now we can water that. I'll put that to work. If Vicky says that she just got fed up, remembered the Word of God, sat up, yelled at the devil, and laid down and went to sleep, we'll say, I can do that. We've got that seed. Now we water that seed. We put it into practice. We experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. And now we become a mighty army. Now we become a people who pray and believe. Who don't just take lightly what LaVon prayed and we agreed with. Who expect, man, there's some salvations coming. There's some people being just jerked out of the flames right now. There's some people just being transformed. The Word of God is piercing their heart right now because we prayed. To God be the glory. This is the confidence we have, that when we pray, we know that He hears us. Those aren't just words. Those are the Word of God. Hallelujah. God has heard us. Every disease has been cast away from me. Finances are coming to me. Harvest is coming to me. These aren't just words. Those are declarations according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. We can celebrate it. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make His deeds known among the people. And glory, glory, glory in His holy name. My, my, my. We should be one on fire people, shouldn't we? We should be walking around every day like the cat that got the bird. And knows where there's a whole cage full of them. This should be the confidence that we have. This should be it. This should be the assurance that we have. As we get these things, it rocks our soil. It takes the rocks off and makes it better soil and better soil and better soil. And seeds come in and we water the seed. And it's just continually producing a harvest. And the harvest is overflowing. And people are saying, wow, what's going on in your life? And we say, Jesus. That's all. It's about Jesus. And we have, every one of us has settled for less than His best. Every one of us have come up short at one time or another. Every one of us have things maybe right now that we're sitting and by the Spirit of God we're saying, not anymore. Not anymore. I got my answer. The Spirit of God gave me my answer today. This morning when I was praying and I was reading the Word and I was reading the 119th Psalm again, and I'm reading along and I had some of these questions that were coming to mind, things I wanted to write down, and I opened up my journal to write and I realized it had been a while since I wrote, so I was catching up on some of the days before so I don't have things out of order, and by the time I got to today, I'm going, God, what was it that I wanted to write down? I need to not worry about getting down all the other stuff. I need to make sure I get down the stuff that I need to remember first. But God, You're faithful. I'll trust You. I got time to sit here and wait until I can remember, Lord. Wait until I can remember, Lord. There's always something that'll try to distract you and try to keep you, that will try to keep us from the very best thing that God has for us. But if we're certain that He has that very best thing for us, we have time to wait upon the Lord. We have time to wait. You know, if your vehicle breaks down and somebody is coming to get you, and in this day and age, you know what mile marker they're at because you can keep calling or keep hearing from them. And you know they're coming. You don't just try to push your vehicle toward them then, do you? You wait till they get there. You're not going to extend all that energy to do that because you're confident. We can have this kind of confidence in God. And that's what we should have. And we have the seed. We have it. We have what we've heard. We have what we've learned. We have what we can look into. We have the opportunity. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the privilege of going right into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have all of that. And we just need to water it. A harvest requires water. But we have this guarantee from God. If you will water it, if you'll be washed in the water of the Word, then you'll know the truth, because you will abide in Him and His Word will abide in you. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And the Spirit of God speaks truth to us every day if we're listening. In every circumstance, He will help us and guide us and guard us and provide for us. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing God. This is about advancing the kingdom of God, folks. We have a responsibility to advance the kingdom of God. Around us, through us, for others. We have a responsibility. It's important. It's important that others see the goodness of God in the land of living. It's important that we allow God to produce what God wants to produce in our lives and through our lives, so that others will behold the goodness of God, so that others will see. Let your light so shine before men that they see it and they glorify God because of it. Let the power of God flow through you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Be prepared at every opportunity to defend that hope that is within you. You're just ready to go. You're like a prize fighter. And you're picked to win. And you're going to win. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The gospel is good news. It's a fun thing. The kingdom of God is a fun thing. Otherwise, He wouldn't have said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Water your seed. Let it grow up. Produce a harvest. Be transformed and be a transformer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank You that Your Word does transform us. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We thank You, Lord, that You are abundantly above and beyond what we can even hope or imagine. But God, we're getting a glimpse. And we're getting determined. And we aren't going to let it go. But we're going to make it grow. We're going to water it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.